All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Tuesday on The Usual Suspects, and everybody's present and accounted for as we head on down the holiday stretch. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel. We'll be here till 4. Hopefully you will be too. Appreciate you taking us along for the ride. So fasten your seatbelts and fellas.
And away we go.
What up?
Yizzer.
What's going on?
What's up? Weather's beautiful.
It is. I thought it was going to be cold. It was colder than my house, in my house, than it was outside. It was weird.
You had the air on?
No, I didn't have anything on. I think we just, because
well,
we didn't have
I know you normally walk around the house naked. I was just talking about
the
air conditioning.
I do.
Which is really creepy.
Why?
Just weird.
Well, I mean, I don't have kids.
So? You got
the
cats.
Wife's not. I'm home by myself from like 5:30 in the morning until the wife gets home at like 6 at night. Why wouldn't I? I mean, she wakes me up in the morning. I have my coffee. I lay in bed, get on the laptop. I'm, you know, bucket naked. What's wrong with that?
I just don't.
Gotta have. Now, make sure you don't put the laptop directly on the lap. You don't want to burn anything down there. Which has happened.
There was slam it shut quickly.
There was a news story about that where a guy had to go to the emergency room with burns on his junk.
Was that you?
No, it wasn't me. Well, I didn't understand about that is how do you let it sit there so long that it burns your junk? How do you not feel that?
Fell asleep.
You should be able to feel that.
Oh, well, that maybe he didn't tell the whole story.
Maybe
he fell
asleep.
Yeah, I would think if your penis is burning and feels like it's on fire, you would know.
So,
apparently not.
Would you be that guy if the coffee spilled and burnt your junk and you'd sue? Because remember, that was the big deal, the Seinfeld episode and everything, too, where
there was
someone went through
the
drive-thru,
right?
Yeah, and they all had to put new warnings on the coffee because she got the coffee from the drive-thru, then spilled it on her crotch. And
that was a real deal.
It was a real deal,
there
is right.
There was like a lady at McDonald's, and apparently somebody, I think, because we were talking about it on this show
We talked about it. I remember saying I saw a video, and it was like a big misconception. And all the only thing that
she
really...
That was you that said that.
Yeah, the only thing that she really wanted was the...
An apology or...
The medical... The medical
her bills paid for?
Yeah, and it was significantly less than the money she won in the lawsuit.
And there's a
video going around on YouTube and on Facebook that explains it. There's a better version of that story.
So she wasn't just, you know,
it was a struggle just to get her McDonald's to cover the medical bills.
Yeah, so she had to go and sue them.
But because
them for
of
more.
It, then Starbucks and everybody else had to put disclaimers on everything.
That coffee is hot.
Yes.
Right.
Which was ridiculous.
Careful. Next thing you're going to have, when you buy a bottle of water, careful, this water is wet. Okay. Thank you.
So would you do it if you had...
If I burn my balls, yes, I'm suing.
Who are you suing?
No, I don't know. Like coffee-wise
or
laptop?
You do Keurig or do you do...
Like the laptop, if the laptop did it?
Either one.
I mean, no, I'm not, because all that's my fault. No.
That's what I'm saying.
I know coffee's hot. I know the laptop is hot. No, I'm not.
People try to cash in on their own stupidity. Bottom line. But like we have a Keurig, and I can honestly see someone out there that has a Keurig that ends up spilling it out of their own carelessness going, well, I'm suing them.
By the way, don't get a new one if you don't need it.
Tell my wife that on a lot of things.
So
please.
we have a Keurig, and just the regular K-cup thing, right?
Yeah.
Just a regular-ass Keurig.
Yep.
Well, my wife, every year I get her the FabFitFun box thing where she gets a box every quarter with a bunch of junk in it, and you can buy stuff from there. And so she saw these two things she wanted to get us. One of them was like a home dry cleaners thing, so you don't have to go to the dry cleaner
anymore.
Like
a steamer?
No, it's like this whole, it's like a big device. It almost replaces your washer. It basically washes, dries, and irons your shirt or pants or shorts or whatever you put in there. So you don't have to do it. Like if I'm getting ready for a show, I can just throw a button up shirt in there, boom, boom, done. 10 minutes, it's clean, it's pressed, it's everything. It's crazy.
And it comes out, and it's folded or you fold it.
No, it's not folded. It's
I was
just,
like, do you just you hire that it. Person and give him a house, a room in the house?
It's
or?
Dope, man. Like you put the shirt on a hanger, and you put this hanger in like this. It's almost like a think of it like
a car wash.
No, I'm trying to think of how to describe this thing. It's almost like
You basically are the Jetsons. You go through the car wash, shower, and then you just roll through. I'm trying and to, the machine pops out your clothes.
I'm really trying to figure out how to describe this thing, but it's basically as tall and as wide as a shirt if you kind of held the sleeves out. How about that? It's about, you know,
it's three narrow?
Or 4 feet tall. Yeah, okay. It's pretty narrow, and it's probably maybe a foot wide, foot and a half wide at the most, 12, 16 inches wide, and wide. But you hang your shirt on there, and then you have these little cables that come up from the bottom, so it stretches your shirt out, right? Like the, so yeah. The sleeves are fully extended, the tail is fully extended. You close it, you hit a button, and then it has these little packs that you throw in there. And so those packs, basically it sprays your shirt and cleans it all, then it steams it, and then it dries it, and then after 10 minutes, the Damn. Timer goes off, you pull it open, and you have a clean,
you
pressed
got a Keurig
shirt.
For your shirt.
It's dope, man. But she bought that, and then she bought another Keurig. And I was like, we already have a Keurig. She's like, well, this one's the newest one. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I just need coffee. That's it. This thing makes lattes, cold coffee, tea. I'm like, I don't need all that. I just want coffee. And the K-Cups that we have, we bought the big-ass box from HEB. They don't fit.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. That would make me no.
So, so now I'm like, I got all this coffee. It comes with this little adapter. But I don't want to use that every time because it doesn't – it's not convenient. You know, it's just not, I don't know. So, and then I'm like, you spent all this money on this Keurig and it makes coffee like the other one did, but we just didn't have to pay the money for it. She was like, well,
if you want all that other stuff, just go down to Culture Mat. Yeah, they got all that in the kitchen.
That's true. So now I got to buy these new, like, it detects the pod that you put in so it knows whether it's cold coffee, hot coffee, tea, a latte, or whatever the hell it is. I'm like, I don't need that.
I want to go, coffee. The shirt thing is intriguing. What is something like that cost?
$400.
Oh, that ain't that bad.
If it's something that you use a lot, then it's a good investment.
I can see you doing shows and stuff and having to be pressed. Like if I was still at the Rockets and doing business casual and suits and things like that, I get that.
Well, like a perfect example is last night she was like, oh crap, I didn't wash any of my scrubs. Or my scrub pants, and I've got this thing I have to go to tomorrow. I was like, just throw them in that thing. It's 10 minutes. They're clean. It's pressed, ironed. And she did. Now, the little pods, it's like a package of them is like $20. But I mean,
and you use one pod per one
and
shirt?
And you can do two shirts, or okay. You can do a shirt and a pair of pants. So you can, it's not just one at a time. You can do two. But I mean, for me, yeah, especially because like if I wear a shirt, think about this. If I wear a shirt to a show, mm-hmm. I'm in that shirt for maybe 3 hours,
right.
Max time. From the time I leave the house, do the show, come back home, I'm in this dress shirt for maybe 3 hours if it's just one show for one night. Now I've got to wash that, iron it, press it or whatever, or pay to have it dry cleaned. It doesn't make sense. Well, I can just throw it, next time I want to wear that shirt, I just throw the, you know, put it back in the hanger and then put it in that little unit, let it clean it. I mean, it's the money we're going to save in dry cleaning is ridiculous.
Yeah, because you've double rinsed the armpits during those 3 hours too.
I was just going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
But that's, you're right, because dry cleaning is a ridiculous amount of money.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Stupid amount of money.
No question about
it. So it's kind of like a home dry cleaner thing. I'm going to find it.
That's pretty intriguing. Because I'll tell you this, my wife, Lisa's so big on Consumer Reports. Everything we've bought that Consumer Reports rated in the top three has sucked. And then when they come to repair it, like our washer and dryer were Consumer Reports top rated. And you want to talk about top rated? When you call the people to come and repair it because something's up with it, it almost costs as much as the damn dryer or washer cost by itself. I'm like, so I'm looking at the dude going, so basically you're telling me you're going to charge me almost as much as I paid for this washer or dryer. screw that. And she did the same thing with our fridge, and it annoys the hell out of me. So she just needs to get a clean and pressed unit, a Keurig for the shirts or her dresses, and be fine.
I like it. Now, I did see another one that they have that's out that will, all it does is iron. It doesn't clean them or anything, but it will iron up to 8 shirts at a time. So you can just put your 8 shirts in this little thing, close the door, and it irons them all with steam and everything. I was like, that's kind of badass.
For you or like for her being on the air all the time with dresses and things like that, that makes a lot of sense. For me and Nick, we don't need our t-shirts done like that.
I mean, Nick, do you even wash your Garanimals clothes?
I wash my clothes.
Quarterly? Are you sure?
I thoroughly wash my clothes.
I feel like you don't. I feel like it's just whatever you step over on the floor. You're like, yep, there's my shirt.
I feel like you're telling the people lies. That's what I feel like you're doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like they're people that want to get in on the show.
Well, so. I know you don't iron them.
Wow.
I mean, you look like you slept in your clothes.
Well, Nick, here's what you do.
It's perfectly pressed shirt.
I'm just, look at this shirt. Nick, here's what
is
you
it,
do.
Is it, though?
Bring in your laundry perfectly bag pressed full of your clothes.
Yeah,
and
bring it.
After the show, give it to Barry and say, hey, can I pick these up by Friday, or will you deliver them to the station so that I have my stuff pressed?
And when I tweet you a picture of a fire, you'll know exactly what's burning.
Damn, see?
It will be your clothes. But bring them to me.
You know, the house will be safe, though, because on the back 40, you got plenty of room for the bonfires there, too. All right, we're just getting started. Matt, John, you want to get in here? We've struck a few nerves. We've gotten some people to have some things that they want to input on the show. That's the way we like to do this. HR&P Listener Line, 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on Twitter, where it's at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at the producer Nick. And if you guys want to find the Concords for us that Barry and I struck out on, you can do that, too. Nick, I'm sure you'll wear them if they get them for you as well. But we're here for you till 4. Hopefully you'll be along for the ride. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome in. Welcome back. We are on. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, opening segment. We were kicking around. Barry showed me during the break. I'm telling you right
it's
now,
dope, isn't it?
This shirt wash and steam thing is pretty badass.
$409 on Amazon. I'm going to, you know what I should
Nick
do?
Nick is contemplating.
You know what I should do? If I post the link, I should create an affiliate link. That way, if anybody buys it, I can get some scratch on
it. Yeah, I've heard you can do that. I've always wanted to do that.
I'm going to do that. You going to go buy one from me, Nick?
No. Why would I drop $400 just for you?
Nick,
$400?
Nick,
yeah. You finally could walk around without wrinkled clothes on.
I don't have wrinkled clothes. I don't know what you're talking about, sir.
You can see if they make another one for the Charlie Brown Christmas tree in your yard, the shrub that won't grow, and maybe it'll spruce that up in the process, too.
My shrubs are just fine. Just
we'll see.
That's what they say on the weekends, huh? All right, so who do you want to take first?
Looks like John has been holding the longest.
John wants to talk about laptop burns on the lap.
John,
what's up?
John.
Y'all are talking about how that guy burned himself on his junk. I mean, think about it. If it wasn't hot when he put it there, it gradually warmed up. They didn't really notice it. Like when you leave a heating pad on your back for too long, and then it gets super-duper hot.
Yeah, but you know what I'm John, I appreciate the call. At some point, though, even with the heating pad on, it starts to burn.
It's not going
to
feel good.
No.
I've heard that before, that if it's something that's gradual and you're, like, sleeping, sometimes you won't realize to get it off or, like, if it's something. Yeah, I've heard that before.
Okay.
I don't know.
I've done the opposite with cold.
I've used a heating pad. And I've never scalded myself on it because once it starts getting hot and itchy, you take it off.
It does heat up to the point where you're like, okay, I've had enough of this.
Yeah.
But from a cold perspective now, I've done the opposite and it's turned into like a massive water blister and scars and everything else.
Ooh.
Yeah. Like Tony, the Rockets equipment guy, would always give me a hard time because, like, you know, I'd make fun of the guys that have to wear the little toe protecting footy guards when they put their feet in to ice them and their ankles and everything.
Oh, really?
I'm like, come on, man. He's like, their feet could get frostbite. I'm like, their feet aren't going to get frostbite. I stuck my arm for years when I was pitching in a full up from my rotator cuff to my wrist in ice and water. It's not
going to give you frostbite, right?
No. And he's like, they make these, I don't know if you've seen them, Nick, in the locker room, but they make, each player has them. They're like mittens for your feet, for your toes. So when you're icing your ankles or whatever, so your toes are protected. I'm like, then why wouldn't you protect the rest of the skin that's also in the bucket?
I've never seen that. I've never seen it.
Oh,
so
they
I don't
got
know what you're talking
they
about.
They got them. Yeah. So I refused to even use a lot of, they said, well, like, I had a pulled calf. And they were like, for your calf, you're supposed to put like a dry fit something on it first and then put the ice on. I'm like, screw that. Just put the ice bag right on my calf. And then I left it too long. And I didn't feel like, because once it's frozen to a certain point, it goes numb. On the flip side of the heat, from a frozen perspective, there's a certain point where you lose feeling in how cold it is. And then I realized that night when I was like, why does my calf still feel like it's cold? And then the blister developed, and then the scar got there, yeah. And it was a good look.
By the way, somebody said, before we get to Matt's call, somebody texted and said the lady who burned herself with the McDonald's coffee, part of the reason she was able to sue, that she found out they were making the coffee attempts above the allowed threshold. Mm. I didn't know that either.
But isn't that a technicality? Because, like, even at Starbucks, the people when at the Randall's that closed that used to know my from the time I walked in, they were like, oh, you don't like it super hot, so we do it at da-da-da temperature.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, so you can get close to that temperature, but every time you're not going to get it at 100.2 to whatever. You're not going to get it at the same temperature every time.
I would think you would.
No, man. You see that. They got those heat-blowing steam things and when they put the coffee under there.
Yeah,
they don't know exactly how hot. You don't know. You're not holding it for the exact same time every time to get the same temperature.
It's close, though, within a couple degrees.
Well, that's the difference between a lawsuit and being in a safety zone.
Somebody texted and said that Jennifer Aniston watches TV in the nude.
I saw that on Twitter
That
yesterday.
Is a visual that I like.
Huge difference between you and Jennifer Aniston watching TV in the nude.
We are.
You guys weigh the same, but other than that, I mean, there's a huge difference.
Okay.
All right. Matt wants to get in here on hot coffee burns. Matt, what's up?
Oh, Texter kind of stepped on my toes. Thanks, Texter. But, so basically what happened was McDonald's had hundreds, if not thousands, reported complaints about how hot it was. It was melting the cup. That's what happened to that older lady. It melted her cup, gave her second and third degree burns on the inside of her legs. If you look up the pictures, they're very graphic. She had to get a bunch of skin grafts and stuff for that, which, by the way, she never saw any of that money. She got buried in a bunch of
legal
money
stuff?
By McDonald's, where she never got any of it. But to follow that up, I got a stand-up comedy question if you got time for it.
Sure.
People like Daniel Tosh and Russell Peters, who I love their stand-up, they seem like they bounce all over the place and play with the crowd. Is that scripted, or is that just really how they are and that quick-witted?
Appreciate it, Matt. It depends. There are some comics that will go out and just riff with the crowd, and there are some comics that will plan it out, and there are some comics that will have an idea of what they want to do, and they'll have specific jokes for specific types of people. I've actually seen this one guy that does, probably 40 minutes of crowd work out of a 45-minute set, and he's literally got jokes for every occupation, every type of couple. If he's like, hey, buddy, what do you do? And the guy's like, oh, I'm an accountant. Then he's like, oh, an accountant, blah, 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 blah. And he comes up and he says a bunch of accounting jokes that sounds like he's just riffing, because how did he know the guy would be an accountant? But it's because they're already pre-planned. So a lot of it just depends. One example that before I got into comedy, I didn't realize it. But then once I did, like if you watch Kings of Comedy with D.L. Hughley, how he's riffing, he's like, there's some dude in the crowd with glasses on. He's like, damn, you look like you have prescription windshields on. Because his glasses are so... Or he said, no, if you're a bus driver, you probably need prescription windshields. Like, all that's kind of planned. Like,
So do you have, you have your material that you're going to do.
Uh-huh.
But then do you have, a sidebar of prepared stuff in case there's a heckler?
So I don't go in.
Are there one-liners that you got in the back of your mind in case a fat lady or a dude
I usually just tell him to S his son's D, then we're problem solved. No, that was totally unscripted. Like, all of that, I would have never been able to plan for.
That one I could guess.
I will say there are a couple of lines like this, or I'll use a version of them. Like, sometimes if I'm in the middle of a joke and there's, a pause built into the joke to build tension for a reason, and during that pause, someone wants to yell it out and think they're going to know the punchline, or they try to fill the pause and that silence with something and trying to be funny. I'll usually stop them and I'll say something like, I wrote this. I'll finish it. And then, just to let them know.
Kind of send a message.
And it usually gets, I had to do that this past weekend with Kid because some lady tried that. And I was like, ma'am, I wrote the joke. I'll do it. And she was like, oh, I'm sorry. And then sometimes people will just try to be funny and say something. And I'll say something to the effect of like, hey, my jokes are written. I'll take it from here. I'll finish the show. You just go ahead and relax and enjoy it.
And that comes with repetition, right? The more you get hecklers.
So those are really the only two that I would have ever had planned. A lot of times it's just whatever pops into my head, whatever. But I don't do a lot of crowd work. A lot of people think that's what a comedy show is. They think, oh, let's sit up front so they make fun of us. Well, you're going to be disappointed if you come to my show. because I don't, that's not the style of comedy that I am. Most comedians don't want you to participate. We've talked about this before. People are ignorant when it comes to comedy because they think, well, I wasn't heckling, I was helping. No, if you talk at all, unless the comedian asks you a question directly, you're heckling and you're being an a-hole, and probably the comedian hates you and half the crowd does too. You're not helping. No, the best way you can help a comedy show, no matter what, is be quiet.
Yeah.
Unless the comedian says, hey, what's your name? Where are you from? What do you do? Whatever. If they talk to you, then talk back. But people that just yell stuff out, you're not helping. Shut up.
Sound like the Mad Hatter. Hey, what's your name and where are you from? Yeah. Got a joke for you, Barry. And I'm going to get it done.
Yeah, that's not considered helping.
All right. Okay. Well, that's good insight there.
And then don't come up to me afterwards and tell, and be like, huh? Did I help you all night? No, you didn't. You were talking and you wouldn't shut up. That didn't help anybody.
They're going
to
come up to you and ask for a hug.
No.
And buy a koozie.
I did have a guy ask me for a hug this past weekend.
That's outstanding.
It was so weird.
I love that. That's like, that's my tracking
device.
First
of all, and I know we got to go to a break. I'm sorry. But he, you know, I sell my shirt. I sell shirts after the show. And he comes up to me and he puts, the shirts are $20 and he puts $100 on the table. And I was like, oh, he goes, just keep it. I was like, no, I'm not like, I don't, no. If you give me money, I'm going to give you something for it. I'm not up here working for tips like a stripper. And he was like, well, I just want to support you. I said, I appreciate it. Well, let me give you a shirt. What size shirt do you wear? And so I gave him a shirt, and then I tried to give him $80 back. And he was like, no, keep it. I just want to support you. I was like, oh, man, I appreciate that. You don't have to do that. He goes, can I have a hug? I was like, bro, this is just so... I'm glad that my comedy touched you in that way.
And he wanted to touch you back.
Yeah, I was like, and I felt bad, so I was like, fine, bring it in.
Nice.
Yeah. You guys would have been proud.
Change
of me.
The oil?
Nope.
Ring the doorbell?
Just a little one-armed pat
bro
on the
hug?
Back, and I was good.
All right.
No, he brought it in with the two around the...
squeezed a little bit?
He had gas money covered for the trip. I was like, well, I'm the dude. I'm going up top. You're going to have to go under the arms like the chick. I'm going up top. So I just did the one hand over all the right. shoulder, and yeah, it was awkward. But I, you know what? If somebody appreciated the show that much...
Yeah, nice little...
That's very, very, very flattering.
Nice tip. Not that way, but...
Just the tip?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. Hey, we're going to continue to roll on. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRP Listener Line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Before we hit the break, though, I do want to tell you that with the holidays upon us and a lot of people that play a lot of golf around here, there's a lot of golfers on your holiday list that want to lower their scores, have more fun on the course, and they're looking for the right golf clubs. Well, PXG has your answer for that call and that person on your list because they're engineered golf clubs that have a higher launch. They fly farther, it feels softer, they provide more forgiveness on every shot, and they're more accurate than anything you've put in your bag in recent years. The reviews all say the same thing. And if you look at who is playing them on the PGA Tour, some of the best are playing PXG. And there's a reason for it, because they are quality golf clubs made by golfers for golfers and undeniably the best amongst the people that play them. Their customers call them insanely good and they live up to the hype. And on top of that, as I mentioned, these clubs have won on every major tour around the globe and even a college national championship. So what are you waiting for? You can set up your game or the golfer on your list and they will enjoy golf more than ever. It's great because it's not like going to a box store and buying them where you go in and you don't get any assistance and they're not fitted for you. These clubs are fitted for you as part of the process, and you can schedule a fitting right now. The clubs are available at the club at Carlton Woods in the Woodlands. You can call them, or you can call PXG, 844-PLAY-PXG, and they will set up a fitting for you. That's 844-PLAY-PXG, or you can just visit pxg.com and book a custom fitting. I'm telling you, PXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way they do, period.
You know who it is.
It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, half hour into the big show. Appreciate you bringing us along for the ride. It's The Usual Suspects on a Tuesday, and right about this time in the show on Tuesdays, boys, I do deliver the news.
Oh, yeah.
Tomorrow's a way back Wednesday.
I've got more work to do.
Here we go. And the theme is not yet in. But we'll work on it. And if you guys have suggestions, as always, feel free to throw them our way. 713-780-3776 to text or hit us up on Twitter. Nick has been working diligently on the theme, and I'm sure by the end of the show he will tell you songs to wash your clothes to.
I will be ahead of the game. I will email a list on time and in advance. So once we secure a theme, I'm not playing around.
Oh,
okay. I'm not messing around.
Okay.
So you're already working on songs you wash your clothes to, or?
No.
No? Okay.
Just work. I'm just going to be ready.
You know he wouldn't be able to make a list. He don't wash his clothes. We've established this already.
Okay.
Y'all just spreading rumors.
So did you watch the game last night?
I stomached some.
Okay.
I couldn't stomach all.
Well, I saw the news that John DeFilippo was let go.
The Vikings offensive coordinator
was let go after that game. And it didn't surprise me, because if you did watch the game and listen to the broadcast, they dropped a hint already. The fact that he didn't get along with the head coach, that they had different philosophies on offense. He wanted to throw the ball around. He wanted to run a kind of open attack. And Zimmer was like, nope, I want to run the ball. I want to pound the rock. I'm old school.
Defense coordinator by trade.
So he wanted to play big boy football, and DeFilippo wanted to, you know, be flashy and fancy. And it was just that's why I was like, well, that's kind of weird that you would have, you know, two guys with varying philosophies like that. If it doesn't align, maybe it's like, well, I'll give you a chance, and it's just not working. And now, you know, they're still in that second wild card spot, but that loss last night was the whole game was ugly.
It was ugly, including the Seahawks uniforms.
You know, I didn't mind it. I didn't mind the uniforms. I know a lot of people. Twitter was going crazy about how bright they were and how ugly.
I mean, you got the highlighter. Different. You got the Seahawks highlighter, and you got the Rams highlighter. I mean, they both look like highlighters.
Yeah, and you know what? That's way better than the boring ass Texans uniforms. Red, white, and blue with a dumb bull. Yay!
I don't mind
Texans
uniforms. I don't mind the red, white, and blue.
Ugly. Ugly, boring. Now, I do like the all navy. When they go like all one color and they mix it up, that's a little better for me.
That's boring.
But, yeah.
So, okay. So, this is a guy, and we'll get to the game too, but DeFilippo is a guy who was supposed to be top of the list with a lot of teams with coaching vacancies at the end of the year. This guy could be a future head coach. And I was going to say, does this hurt him or does it help him? Because the only thing that I've heard that helps him is the fact that he came out and admitted that there was an issue between him and Zimmer, and that's why it didn't work out. So maybe people go, well, we could at least talk to this guy because hopefully he's innovative. Everybody wants the next McVay. We talked about that. So if he's a guy that really wanted to open it up and they didn't allow him to, then maybe we'll consider him. Because otherwise, I think this hurts him immensely, because this is a team that you and I both had pegged as being a possible Super Bowl contender, and they have done nothing but crap to bed. And on offense, with those two receivers, those two running backs, that tight end, and a decent offensive line, that offense should be putting up points.
17th in the league in total yards, 20th in the league in points scored, and 17th in average yards per game. So, not an offense that you would label as explosive by any stretch of the imagination. And maybe it was because he was trying to, rather than just fully implementing his philosophy, he had to placate Zimmer a little bit and make him happy. And all right, we'll run the ball. I know you want to run the ball on first down, Bill O'Zimmer, but I want to spread it out. And I want to throw it around.
Comparing him to Bill O'Brien. But you look at, I mean, just offensively, you've got a healthy Dalvin Cook. Uh-huh. So he's your lightning. You've got Latavius Murray as your thunder. You got a really good tight end in Kyle Rudolph. And you got those two blazing speed guys at the top of their game on the outside at receiver. Everybody's blaming Cousins. And I understand that Cousins is never going to be one of the top four or five quarterbacks in this league in terms of he's not going to, you know, compare stats with Breeze and Brady and Rodgers and all those guys. But at the same time, I don't see him throwing a ton of picks. I don't see him making a lot of bad decisions. It's just you kind of had to know this is what you were going to get regardless of how much money you spent for him. Is it really – are you going to blame him for all their woes, or is it just this is it? They're going to blame DeFilippo and move on?
I mean, again, it's a player-driven league. And so when you – it's easy. It makes sense if you really think about it. They went out and spent a lot of money to get Cousins and make him the franchise quarterback. You've got a head coach and an OC with different philosophies. The head coach probably isn't going anywhere right away. He might be on the hot seat coming up maybe next year or the year after. But your offense is sputtering, and it's easy for a head coach to go, I told you that wasn't – no, I didn't fart. That was my mic. Don't worry. Joel thought I thought it was your
phone. No, I thought it was your phone.
But it's easy for the head coach to go, see, I told you, I want to run the ball. I want to. I just want to, you know, up the middle, and set this up. And you want to try to air it out. And look what happens. We end up getting 7 points and you know, getting whooped on the road. So it makes sense to me. But, I mean, Cousins isn't having a good year. If you look up, like, ESPN has a nice little total QBR that they put out there. And he is 14th in the league. So he is literally middle of the pack. As a quarterback this year. He's around. These are the guys that surround him. Fitzpatrick, Dalton. That's ahead and behind him. Fitzpatrick's just ahead of him. Dalton's just behind him. So not a great year for Cousins to begin with. And like you said, he's got weapons.
Yeah, you're not the Saints, but you could be close. I mean, I'm saying not score that many points, but when you got all the weapons with Diggs and Thielen on the outside.
Thielen having an amazing year.
Yeah, look at what he set the record for, broke Randy Moss's record for consecutive 100-yard games in a season at like 9 or 10. I mean, there's just too many weapons to not be scoring enough points, and I don't know if there's enough blame to go around, but I'm like, yeah, I was blaming DeFilippo going, boy, if you've got the keys to that car and you're not opening it up and let it go, that's on you, bro.
Well, they're 6-6-1.
Yep.
They are still in the playoffs, but they are barely hanging on. Panthers on a 5-game skid are still 1 game back in the loss column. Minnesota's 6-6-1. Panthers are 6-7. So with 3 games to go, the Panthers still have hope, as do the Eagles and the Redskins. I mean, these are all teams that still have a chance if Minnesota should falter any more down the stretch. And now with 3 games to go and clinging to a playoff spot, you change OCs. You get a new coordinator.
Yeah, I think it's the wrong time.
They've got to play the Dolphins, who Tannehill's back. They've looked a lot better since they got Tannehill back and got away from Brock. The Lions. And that last game against the Bears looms large, man. That's a tough game.
Yeah.
They drop that game and Carolina manages to hang around, or the Eagles or Redskins manage to hang around. This is a Vikings team that might miss the playoffs.
Yeah, I think it's the wrong timing. You get through the rest of the season, because trying to bring someone new in who's going to be innovative or change things up, now's not the time to change things up. I said last night, whoever lost that game, I didn't think was going to make the playoffs. It doesn't look like the Vikings would or should, but they could, as you mentioned. And that's crazy. That's why you don't make the change. And they said, ESPN's reporting that it was all Zimmer's decision. He decided after the game, and they're moving on. But that just puts more heat on his seat.
And I saw something on the front page of ESPN where Kevin Seifert from NFL Nation was talking about the fact that this is the second OC in 3 years for the Vikings. Both times the OC, the previous one, Norv Turner, quit in 2016. DeFilippo fired this year. And it says, basically, bottom line, working for Mike Zimmer isn't easy. So that's also something to keep in mind as you go forward. You've got all these weapons, and maybe it's not the OC's fault. Maybe it is a guy like Zimmer holding this team back. So
it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. But, hey, and Russell Wilson, boy, you talk about your QBR. I mean, any dude that throws for 71 yards, it was just ugly. I mean, everybody wants to talk about Bobby Wagner and did he or did he not. Should the flag been upheld?
And I love that everyone bitches that was the change in the game.
Yeah, it didn't decide the game at all, because the Vikings couldn't do anything.
If they lost by 3, then talk to me. But they didn't. They didn't lose by 3.
Completely agree. I was like, why is everybody so overly hyped up, focused on this, when
they did
Seattle
blow it,
dominated?
Can we agree the referee screwed the pooch on that?
But doesn't this just go back to what I said yesterday about the fact that the officials overall this whole year have sucked? And this weekend was just another blaring example of something's got to be done to get it right more often.
No doubt.
Yeah.
And shout out to the Seahawks for having me 1-0 this week and keeping me out of the cellar and the pick pool for the station.
I heard that's coming down to Creighton, Jong, and somebody else.
The last place?
Yeah.
Probably me.
I don't know.
I'm in the basement.
AJ
I'm in
told
the cellar.
Me that yesterday.
I'm in the bottom there, so.
All right.
I needed this big win.
Well, congrats to you then.
When it was 3-0 at half, I had the Seahawks -3 and was like, oh, damn.
I was going to say, don't brag about it.
Because
you know
quarter,
your track record with bragging about your picks
that's
has
true.
Some really bad after effects.
I got lucky.
Okay. So that's the humble side we needed.
There you go.
All right. We're going to continue to roll on. If you want to join us, we can talk about the football game last night, Rockets game tonight, lots of other things on the agenda. And if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, hey, we're here for you. 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back. We were kicking it around from last night's debacle. The Seahawks beat the Vikings. I mentioned this to Barry during the break. Seahawks defensive end Frank Clark. A lot of you say, who? Well, Clark leads the Seattle squad with 11 sacks. He had a little bit of an issue with the fact that a few weeks ago, Richard Sherman called the Seahawks defense middle of the road and basically said that they weren't even close to the Legion of Boom. Frank Clark, after the game, said he's not in this locker room no more, so his opinion really doesn't matter. They got problems over in San Fran he needs to be worried about, and he said, to finish it off, this is my team now. This is my defense. Richard Sherman, his era is over here. If he's got anything to say about our defense, say it on the field.
Yikes.
Tell you what, this is not a team that I saw making the playoffs. And then you lose Earl Thomas after you already knew he was holding out, skipping practices, and wanted to get his deal done. And he had said all along he basically wanted to be a Cowboy. Sherman was gone. Bruce Irvin gone. Lots of guys had to retire, you know, for due to injuries, things like that. The whole Legion of Boom complete. Michael Bennett. Gone to Philadelphia. So I didn't expect, and then you looked at their skill positions. They drafted a running back. You didn't know how good he was going to be. Besides Doug Baldwin, they didn't have receivers. I was like, and then we talked about earlier in the season, their offensive line looked terrible.
It did look like it was going to be bad, but they had a guy. They have a guy at the most important position the field that is special.
No question about it. And I said it, you know, yesterday, even after only throwing for 71 yards last night.
Amazing, right?
When you look at the run that basically changed the game and he went for 30 or 40 yards, you're like, you know what? Russell Wilson should be in the MVP discussion because, again, we say this all the time about analytics and Daryl Morey.
You can't throw for 70 yards, though, but I get what you're saying. Your point about changing the game.
Most valuable means, like you said, he's the one guy that as long as you have him, you got a shot. If you don't, you don't.
Valid point.
And you watch what he did last night. On the ground, and when they needed a play,
he made it.
He made big plays. Well, I mean, although I will say the one play he wished that floundering throwback that cost him a pick. Wow,
yeah, that was dumb. It's funny, man, because you know in some respects, and I'm certainly not putting him on the same category just yet, but it kind of reminds you of Deshaun Watson a little bit. Numbers aren't sexy; they're not going to be great, but he's so dynamic and he can change the game in so many different ways with his arm, with his feet. You know, he can decision making sometimes.
I like it. I like the
throwback. Yep. It's you get excited if you're a Texans fan and you have Deshaun Watson because you think, man, if the ceiling for Watson is Russell Wilson, I'll take that all day
long. Hell yeah, because people say, well, it's not the same body type. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. It's what they do on the field.
The intangibles and the skill sets, the arm strength, the athleticism, the speed. You don't want either one of them taking hits. Let's be honest about that, regardless of how stocky Russell Wilson is.
Yeah.
But just getting it done, hey, you could do a whole hell of a lot worse than having Deshaun Watson turn out like Russell Wilson.
Yeah. And by the way, to Richard Sherman's point, from a yardage perspective, okay, maybe Seattle is middle of the road. But from a points allowed perspective, they're sixth in the NFL in giving up points. They're allowing 20 a game. So hold your horses there, Mr. Sherman, because it's a pretty decent defense over there.
Yeah.
Even though they've had a lot of losses, at the end of the day, I know everyone looks at yardage and, oh, they're giving up 360 yards a game. Okay. And that puts them at 18th in the NFL. But guess how many points that translates to? 20, which puts them sixth. I always look at points. When it comes to offense and defensive rankings and you want to argue which team defense is better than another team defense or which, you know, oh, who's the better offense, the Chiefs, the Rams, or the Saints? Well, how many points are they scoring? That's what I care about. I don't care about yards. I care about points because leading the, you know, having the most passing yards in a game doesn't win you the game. It's the points. So Seattle's defense holds up just fine.
Well, that's why the red zone's so important because you get too many NFL teams that between the 20s can just chew up yards, whether you got a big-time running back or you've got an offense that's a dink and dunk but gets it done. But if you're just settling for field goals, you can lose games as well as you can and win them. And here's the thing that's amazing, and I've experienced this the wrong way with the Packers all year. You can dominate a team for three quarters, but at the end of the night, and you look at the Chargers, you look at the game, there was two straight games. The Steelers, the last two of the last 3 weeks. Steelers dominated games on national TV against the Chargers and in Denver against the Broncos. For 3.5 quarters, they were the dominant team. But guess what? They took L's in both games because you're never out of it in the NFL. And
they've lost 3 in a row.
Yeah.
Steelers.
Yes, they have. So that's going to be interesting to see because now, even with everybody jumping off the bandwagon because the Texans streak is over, fact of the matter is, like we said, if they beat the Jets and if the Steelers trying to get it right.
This is the Steelers. Have you seen their schedule?
Yeah, it's hellacious, but I'm saying the Steelers Patriots. Could do the favor of for the Texans if they beat the Patriots and the Texans are back one game up.
Yeah, Patriots, Saints, Bengals are the three remaining games.
Thank God
for
Cincinnati.
Yeah, because those two, I mean, you're looking at a Steelers team that could be, you know, lose 5 of their last 6.
They'll limp into the playoffs.
And the Texans, we talked about their schedule and how it you know, is somewhat favorable. Because that's the three teams you're competing against. Yeah. You're not necessarily worried about the division.
You ain't catching the Chiefs.
Yeah, you're not. Yeah, you're definitely not catching the Chiefs. And, of course, the Patriots have a layup, basically, after the Steelers, which I think they win that game. Then they have the Bills and the Jets. So you're probably, if the Steelers could do you a favor and get them to lose that game and you can run the table, things might be looking up. But
good news for Texans is you control your own destiny.
Texans look like they'll end up third in the AFC.
Yeah, because they lose the tiebreaker to New England.
I could see the Steelers losing both of their next two games.
It could happen. Easily. But if you want any shot of catching New England.
They got to run the table.
Texans control their own destiny as it is, but the Steelers could do you a big favor if they could beat the Pats.
Absolutely.
Because that's the only game you need as long as you control your own destiny.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that'll be a big one to watch. And as I mentioned, that one's going to be a national TV game. So there's lots of good games starting Thursday night with Chiefs-Chargers leading into Sunday night Steelers-Pats. And then Monday night, I think I saw it last night, but there's another good game, I believe, Monday night. So, yeah. So, at least finally, Nick, to your point about there's always a bunch of dog and garbage games on the Thursday nights and the national TV games. They got the schedule down the stretch right with the fact that there's some good games to watch this weekend.
Yeah, and I think it's -3.5. So, it's obviously a competitive game, or at least Vegas thinks it's a competitive game. And you always want a competitive game on Thursday because it hasn't been.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Your Monday night matchup is New Orleans and Carolina.
There you go.
Yeah,
Carolina trying to hang on for dear life, or there's another guy that might be looking for work at the end of the year. As sexy as they looked at the midseason point, we talked a little bit about it yesterday, but the Carolina could be making a coaching change if they continue their swoon, but that's a good game as well. So, yeah, those are going to be some fun games to watch. Weird, too, that the Texans play on Saturday.
That is weird.
Yeah.
That is weird. What did you say that line was? That 3? That was for the Steelers Patriots game?
That was for the Chargers.
Oh, the
Chiefs.
Chargers.
And we were just talking about, you know, competitive games on Thursday.
Yeah. So. Okay.
And obviously, you get it from an NFL standpoint. They do these Saturday games for the last 2-3 weeks of the season because college football's done. The bowl games haven't started yet.
Right.
You don't have that full slate, so they're capitalizing on some extra exposure and going. But
then they put.
We just talked about the big games.
Crappy teams.
I was going to say, we just talked about the big games and Texans Jets. That fits right in.
And Browns Broncos is the other Saturday game. And that game is at 7:20. So the primetime Saturday game is Browns Broncos.
Well, you better hope that your boy in Cleveland carries the load of excitement and everybody talking about Baker Mayfield. Because other than that, they got nothing that's going to entice anybody with that matchup.
Not looking forward. That means there's only 2 afternoon games on Sunday. 2 3 o'clock games for us anyways.
Yeah.
3 o'clock games.
Yeah.
Seattle, San Francisco, and the Patriots Steelers matchup. That'll be the one game that probably runs here.
That means I got a full Sunday open for the most part, simply because I'm always going back and forth and the Texans game's always like I gotta watch it.
Yeah.
And now on a Saturday afternoon I get that out of the way and then
that's right. You got your Packers and Bears playing at noon. You can watch that. And then your 3 o'clock game. It's not bad.
I hate the fact that people think the Packers are still in it because they're not.
No.
They're not.
No.
And you looked up stats in the break. Rodgers' stats. His better QBR, start looking in the mirror and realizing,
We were talking about QBR, and I was giving you Kirk Cousins at, what did I tell you, 15?
14 or 15, yeah.
Rodgers sitting at 18 in the NFL in total QBR. Yeah.
Don't point the fingers at others when you have to look in the mirror every
That's
day.
That's right.
There you go. All right, 1 hour in the book. Still 2 hours to go with the big show. It's flying by, but there's still room for you to hop on board. The HR&P listener line, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text. Hit us up on Twitter. And, oh, by the way, at the midway point, winter meetings going on. Great time to catch up with Jeff Blum, color analyst for the Astros on AT&T Sportsnet. The Blummer is going to join us, tell us all about his podcast. and what he thinks is going on with Jeff Luhnow and the winter meetings in Major League Baseball. So that to look forward to as well. It's hour number two right around the corner. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.